friends, let's join our hearts in prayer. It's good again to be gathered together, Lord, in your presence and to be reminded of your faithfulness to us that is enduring throughout the generations. And we thank you for witnesses to such a faithfulness as we today gather around the stories of Abraham, as he was known, a man of faith, but also a man who had a brokenness to his journey as well. And so we pray, Lord, as we gather as people who need you, who walk paths that often lead us down broken paths, that you still are faithful to us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's no secret that today we're talking about Abram, or a man who later became renamed by God, Abraham, the father of many generations, many nations, and he's a well-known character described throughout the scriptures. If you've grown up in the church, I suspect that you've heard a thing or two about this man, and most notably, you've heard at the forefront of who he is the message of faith. In fact, the closing verse of our Old Testament reading for this morning highlights the noteworthy character of this man. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Possibly one of the first and most positive reflections of what it means to have faith, to believe that what God says will be. But friends, as remarkable as our friend Abram might be portrayed in the scriptures, I think it's also important for us to acknowledge that he was a man who also made some choices and decisions in his life that fell short of God's vision and plans for him. And yet God never, never gave up on Abram. Now, many of us have learned great stories about this man. The first that we hear of him is in the 12th chapter in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. After the saga of Adam and Eve that Deacon Joanne portrayed a little bit for us last week when we were out in the park, the path of sinful, wayward offspring from these early human beings was traced throughout those earliest chapters of Genesis. The story of humanity, though, finally gets a bit of a restart following an event of a great flood and another man of obedience and faith called Noah. Finally, Abram strides across the pages of our Bible in the 12th chapter of Genesis, and we read of God calling this man away from his ancestral home with the announcement of a great promise. Now, of course, right away, I think it says a lot about Abram that he even chooses to listen to God. Obviously, a vibrant faith pulses in the heart of this man who chooses to follow the spiritual urgings of this one that he believes in, that he trusts in, the God of the universe. Abram, God says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. And so the story unfolds as Abram pulls up stakes. He begins a journey of faithful living that takes him from one end of the known world to the other, rooted only in the firm conviction that God told him to do it. A remarkable act of faith indeed. Yes, many stories about our friend Abram, but how many of them do we know? Really? And that's kind of the purpose of my journey with you this morning. Because if we're just relying on our Sunday school instruction, we've probably missed some elements of this man's life that are worthy of taking note of. For example, and this is as a way of maybe enticing you to do a little background reading yourselves, there's this juicy tale about Abram that happens not long after he finally settles in the land in which God led him to. Despite the remarkable nature of Abram's faith, he finds himself in danger of losing absolutely everything due to starvation. So he goes off to Egypt with his wife Sarai, his only other family member, his nephew Lot, and all of his worldly possessions. As they approach the border of this land of hoped-for relief, Abram coaches his wife Sarai to do something that's rather unexpected. He says this, and I'm paraphrasing now. "Listen, dear wife, you're one good-looking lady." She was reportedly now 65 years old, mind you, and Abram was 75, so this was quite a compliment indeed. Abram continues, "My dear wife, if these Egyptians see us as husband and wife, especially when they see how desirable you are, they'll want to kill me so that they can have you for themselves. So please, please, for my sake, tell them you're my sister, and I will be treated well for your sake and for mine." So that's exactly what they did. When word spread to the great king of Egypt, Pharaoh himself, about Sarai's beauty, this great ruler of Egypt couldn't resist. He immediately arranges to buy her from her so-called brother so that she may become Pharaoh's wife, a part of his harem. Scripture tells us that in return for such an arrangement, Abram got rich quick. You can read it for yourself in the 12th chapter. He gets sheep and oxen and donkeys and slaves and camels, all added to his many possessions. But as the story unfolds, Pharaoh and his household are suddenly afflicted with some great plagues. Sounds like another story that we're familiar with. And Pharaoh quickly traces the beginning of these disasters back to the time when he welcomed Sarai into his household. So he makes a quick summon to Abram to come to the palace, and after a stern cross-examination, learns that Abram has deceived him. And our hero, and now his restored wife, are summarily kicked out of Egypt, but much wealthier for it. Yes. It would seem at the outset, this Abram, even though he was a pretty old dude, was quite a crafty old critter as well. But note this, God still had work to do in Abram's life. Before we encounter today's Old Testament story, there's another tale that I couldn't resist uplifting for you. Believe it or not, in his advanced years, and it's believed by the timeline that now Abram's getting on to about 80 years of age, he showed himself as a bit of a warrior as well. It seems that some of the local kings who were ruling throughout the land, being promised now to Abram, put together this military alliance to subdue their neighbors and to claim the wealth of the land for themselves. And in the process of this hostile takeover, if you will, Lot, Abram's nephew, remember, the only family member that he had from the old country besides his wife, is captured. Word comes to Abram about this situation. And being a man of action, old Abram puts together an army. It's recorded in the book of Genesis, 318 warriors. And he dashes off to do battle with these rascals who kidnapped his nephew and quickly defeats them all and recovers the plunder. It seems there's a lot more to this old Abram than meets the eye at first. Maybe he's feeling a bit good about who he is and his strength, but God still isn't done with Abram. After all that's happened, you'd think now that Abram would just want to settle down to a quiet life of retirement, and much deserved. But our hero's heavy-duty faith starts to unravel a bit, especially when he begins questioning now the first promise of God that led him on this journey in the first place, that he was going to become the father of many nations, that he was going to have descendants and inherit a great land, and all would be talking about him. Had he misunderstood God? God had said years earlier, Abram would be great, that his descendants would be many. And yet so far, Abram and Sarah remained completely childless. They didn't have any descendants. Not one. So in the quiet shadows of the night, as Abram is tossing and turning on his sleeping mat, we enter into the innermost thoughts of Abram's life with today's lesson as we pick it up in the 15th chapter. And the promise of God is now reaffirmed. Do not be afraid, Abram, God says. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. Knowing that Abram is wrestling with God's guarantee of oodles of descendants, God takes Abram then outside of his tent and shows him the sky. Look toward the heaven, count the stars, Abram, if you are able. So shall your descendants be. Again saying to Abram, reassuring him, I'm still not done with you. Now, of course, there's much more to Abram's story, and we'd all do well to read further beyond the 15th chapter. As he and his wife Sarah continue waiting and waiting and hoping for God's promise to be fulfilled, another 10 years, if you're doing the math, the years are mounting up. They blunder through their own attempt to try to force God's hand. Abram fathers a child with one of Sarai's Egyptian maidservants, only to have this effort end in contempt and painful alienation. Finally now, we're in chapter 18, and Abram is 99 years old. This is a matter of the scripture. And Sarai? Nearly 90. God Almighty again, unbelievably, renews his promise to Abram. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Announcing a staggering promise that Abram and Sarai would become parents as was promised. That a man and woman well beyond their childbearing years would conceive and welcome a child. And not only a child, but a son. An inheritor of all that Abram had built. Sarai, when the announcement was made, reportedly laughed at the prospect. Who wouldn't? But guess who had the last laugh as Sarai's womb began to swell with the child, just as God had promised from the beginning. The only name that seemed suitable when this couple finally held the miracle child in their arms was to call him Isaac. And those of you that remember your Bible study lessons know that name means laughter. You gotta love it. Friends, this is a powerful story for us to reflect upon. As people of faith, those who seek to walk in the ways of God, because it teaches us some incredible truths about who this God is. First, we learn that our remarkable God chooses and uses real and imperfect people just like you and me. Sell your wife to Pharaoh, Abram. What were you thinking? And yet, in spite of that, God kept working away at Abram's heart. Second, we learn of the unconditional nature of God's promises. No matter how questionable Abram's choices had been over the many years that he was in relationship with God, God's promises to Abram endured. They weren't just based on, if you do this, I'll do that. When God promised land to Abram and descendants and a blessed heritage, God remained true to his word no matter what. God not only is a promise maker, but a promise keeper. Friends, that's the true nature of our God. Unconditional in his promises, unpredictable to be sure, but always unwavering in his commitment to each and every one of us. But thirdly, this is my biggest takeaway from this wonderful saga. No matter where Abram was in his old life, faithful, fearful, floundering, fumbling, God was never done with Abram. God never gave up on him. I hope that good word sinks into your hearts today and serves as some inspiration of hope to you. We all experience seasons in our living where we feel like life spins out of control and it's all chaotic and we don't know whether we'll ever find a place of stability. There are times when life can also be on the other end of the spectrum and seem so dull and routine that it's like even our ruts have ruts, so to speak. And maybe you feel that way sometimes in your spiritual journey. But here's the good news for all of us. As surely as God's work was never done with Abram and with Sarai, God's not done with you or me either. And our God still is about some surprising and unpredictable outcomes in each of our lives. That's why no matter how challenging the seasons of life may be, I'm choosing to believe, like Abram, in what God has in mind for me, for my life. I'm choosing to believe that God's not done not only with me, but not done with you, my friends in faith. Not done with our friends at Bethel or Messiah, this community that we're building together. God's never done with us, and that's great news to hear. We're a work in progress in the eyes of God. And why? Because God made an unconditional promise to us as well. A promise that began with Abram generations ago, but a promise that is still unfolding. An unconditional promise of love that became undeniable when God himself came to be with us as Jesus, who lived among us, who suffered at our hands, who died a horrible death, but was raised in victory, surprising victory over the power of death itself. An unconditional promise of love that's still unfolding in unexpected and unpredictable ways, in spite of us, our failures, our faults, our fears, and get this, in spite of our faithlessness. Why do I say that with such conviction today? Because this side of eternity, God's never, ever done with us. And for that, I hope we can all say, thanks be to God.